There I was, dodging another wave of projectiles being hurled at me by a giant skeleton wearing a sombrero. Yeah, you heard that right. A giant skeleton wearing a sombrero. This world was crazy, man. The pressure was immense, my health was low, and the stakes were absolutely at their highest. For you see, if I beat the skeleton, I get to not only move on to the next boss, but I get my revenge for 3 generations of my family. This sombrero-wearing skeleton killed my father, my grandpa, and my great-grandma, and I refuse, absolutely refuse to be another victim. So I took my weapon, this time a frying pan, and proceeded to lay the smackdown on his candy ass. For about 8 minutes straight, this fight went on. I smacked him with the frying pan, dodged a blow, then smacked again, until finally, the killing blow was dealt. Unfortunately, I was the one who died, though. However, instead of being discouraged by this loss, it added fuel to my fire. I picked out my next playable family member, my son, who happened to be a gun-wielding cowboy who suffered from colorblindness and set out on the same quest as all my other ancestors. Not only to go put a whooping on a skeleton foe that seemed to have my number, but to see what other discoveries this chaotic castle had to offer. After 20 plus hours of this video game, I still can't get enough. So, what is this wild and chaotic video game? This roguelite is the next recommendation I will give to you for your video game backlog. Find out which game it is right after the intro. DJ, hit the beat. This is the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single-player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single-player experience. Now, without further ado, let's start the show. DJ, cut the beat. So, peeps, some of you might have guessed it, but the game I'm going to recommend to you today is Rogue Legacy 2. In Rogue Legacy 2, just like all other roguelike games, you die over and over again. But you get new abilities and get stronger after each death. You probably played many games just like this one before, like Spelunky, Dead Cells, and Hades, which are some of the best roguelike games ever made. Roguelike 2 ranks right up there amongst those Hall of Fame level roguelike games. Just like the first game, in Rogue Legacy 2, you venture out to take down bad guys, explore 2D levels, and beat bosses. You played games of that description before, but nothing quite like this. Well, unless you played the first game. What makes this series so special is its era system, which lets players choose a new descendant to play as at the beginning of each run. The era system is really just an assortment of classes, ailments, spells, and weapons. The way that those things randomly mix together in each randomly generated character that you play as is what gives this game its unique twist. Combine that with its tremendously fun gameplay and addicting gameplay loop, and you have a game that's easy to fall in love with. In this game, you'll easily find tons of different loadouts and heirs that you'll fall in love with. I have 4 classes that I lean towards, and each are fun to play in their own unique way. Just like with most roguelike games, you start off pretty weak and puny, but you slowly unlock resources and upgrades to become capable of taking on the game's 6 biomes and 6 tough bosses. It's a nice touch that you can use the gold that you've gotten from your last run to get better gear for your family members and unlock pieces of your family estate to further upgrade your characters going forward. In Rogue Legacy 2, gold is your main resource and the way you raise your family's strength, which is pretty handy considering that everything in the game provides you with gold. For example, if you destroy enemies, you get gold. You break objects, which everything in this game seems breakable, you get gold. And if you beat bosses, you get gold as well. This is vital because when you die and choose your next heir, you go back to your headquarters and you use the skill tree, aka upgrading your family castle, to decide how you're going to upgrade all the elements for your future descendants. Like, for instance, you can use some of your gold to upgrade your health for all your future descendants. That way it makes them harder to kill going forward. Getting gold on every run makes each run feel like it's worth your time and effort. Even if you don't like any of the 3 random heirs you have to choose from, you can use that run to go after as much gold as possible instead of trying to take on a boss. Or maybe you go out and use that run to unlock a shortcut to make it easier for yourself in the future. By the way, let's talk about some of the character quirks you get with your descendants. Even when you get a selection of characters with quirks you don't like, the game gives you gold amplifiers to make each one of those runs feel well worth it. For example, I really enjoy playing as the boxer class in this game, and one of the Descendants that I chose to play as that was a boxer had a quirk that he would basically die after just one hit. And then there was another time where I chose an archer class, and he had a quirk about him to where he was colorblind. So the whole run was done in black and white. It's a really cool element, and it makes each run kind of feel unique and fresh. Other ways you can also use gold is to buy permanent gear for your family and to unlock additional classes for you to play as. Overall, there are 15 unique classes that you can choose from in this game. Some examples are your basic mage, knight, and ranger, which is basically an archer. You also get to unlock some pretty weird but awesome classes, like the boxer and the chef. The chef is my personal favorite since he can heal himself and reflect projectiles with his frying pan. All these features are great, but it wouldn't be much if the game wasn't fun to play. Thankfully, that's far from the case. The controls here are very snappy and responsive. The combat is simple and fun. The platforming elements of this game are well thought out, fun, and challenging. I also really want to shout out the game's accessibility options. The game allows you to basically tweak and adjust elements of the game. For example, you can turn a flight mode on, which helps those who have trouble with platforming elements in games. You can also raise and lower enemies' health and damage, if that suits you. It also features a new game plus mode, and in-game challenges for those who want more after beating the game. My hat's off to you if you're able to actually tackle those, because this game can get tough. The one flaw that I would give this game is this narrative. The story is presented in notes left around. I really wish this game had a more traditional way of telling a story, but I get it. This game's bread and butter is this fun gameplay loop and its fun Descendant system. But I gotta say, I'm missing that story element, and it's a slight con that the story isn't a bit more focused here. Overall, Rogue Legacy 2 is a phenomenal roguelike game. Even with this non-traditional way of storytelling, the game's addicting loop draws you in and keeps you wanting more. By the way, you don't have to play the first game to understand what's going on here. Really, I'd skip the whole first game entirely and just play this one. This one is everything great about the first game multiplied by 12. Rogue Legacy 2 is a game that you will play and lose all your sense of time in. Seriously, it's that addicting. If you're a fan of platformers and roguelike games, then this one is a game that you seriously have to have in your collection. Definitely check out Rogue Legacy 2. In this show, we practice the 10 games backlog rule. In this practice, you log down 10 games. Those games are going to be your video game backlog. To be as productive as you possibly can be, we recommend that you only play 3 games at one time. One single player narrative game, one game that's going to be your chill and relax game, and another game that's going to be your palate cleanser game, which is a game that you play when you're not in the mood for your other narrative games. When you complete or get tired of one game, it leaves the backlog list. Then you decide which new game is added to the list, and which game on the list advances to your active 3 games. So, where should Rogue Legacy 2 fit in your video game backlog? This game would be perfect in your relax and chill game spot, or even your palate cleanser slot. This is the perfect game to play when you want to take your mind off things, or when you need a break from your primary narrative game. But I would definitely recommend that you have Rogue Legacy 2 in your video game backlog. So, that is the game recommendation of the week that you should consider adding to your backlog list. If you want me or my community of gamers to give you feedback on your backlog list, then join us in the Single Player Experience Discord server. Once you're in, feel free to share your video game backlog list, or talk about good single player game experiences that you've had lately. The link to join the free Single Player Experience Discord server is in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and I hope to catch you in the next one. Peace.